Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, March 14, 2024, 1 John.
All right, before we get started, another birthday. Tomorrow is Catherine's birthday. Happy birthday. I wasn't invited to your party. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 4. The great epistle on the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. The unique spiritual life God has given to us has an objective. The ultimate objective is for you to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And this is the great epistle that teaches that. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 4, let's start the corrected translation at verse 11. Beloved, royal family, if God so loved us, impersonal love for all mankind, first class condition, and he has so loved all mankind with impersonal love, then we also are obligated to keep on loving one another with impersonal love for all. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. If we love one another with impersonal love for all, God abides in us. We're living the spiritual life. And his love, virtue love, has been brought to completion in us, in our hearts, fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. Verse 13, by this impersonal love for all, we have come to know and realize that we are abiding in him, living the spiritual life, and he abides in us because he has sent to us his Spirit, the universal indwelling of the Spirit in the church age, as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, the power to live this unique spiritual life. Verse 14, indeed we have seen and bear witness that the Father, God the Father, has sent the Son, his eternal Son, to be the Savior of the world, the greatest demonstration of impersonal love for all mankind that the world will ever know. Verse 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, faith in Christ for eternal salvation, God resides in him, the indwelling of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and he in God, union with Christ through current positional truth, the baptism of the Spirit. This passage had brought us, and where we studied the doctrine of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, we completed that. And now we are in the process of studying the doctrine of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. And so far we have studied the first 5 points of this doctrine. Point one was the prophecy of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. We saw that in John 14, verses 19 and 20. Point two, the indwelling of Christ is not the same as having occupation with Christ. And therefore, you must distinguish between the indwelling of Jesus Christ and occupation with Christ. The indwelling of Christ is related to the body, while occupation with Jesus Christ is related to the soul. The indwelling of Christ is a position, while occupation with Christ is an experience. Occupation with Christ is the experience of Christ being formed in your heart. Galatians 4:19. Occupation with Christ is the experience of Christ making himself at home in your hearts. Ephesians 3:16 to 19. This is the experience of the spiritually mature believer who has lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, who has attained spiritual maturity, and has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. The indwelling of Christ belongs to all church-age believers at the moment of faith in Christ and remains a permanent possession regardless of spiritual status, while occupation with Christ belongs only to the winner believer who has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. The indwelling of Christ is a guarantee that we have divine blessing. It is a guarantee that the Lord Jesus Christ has phenomenal, greater grace blessings, both for time and for eternity. They're already been established, and just God is waiting for you to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain maturity, and have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. He's already got them all there. He's just tapping his foot, waiting for you to get there. And once you attain spiritual maturity, these greater grace blessings are poured out on you. Poured out in time, greater grace blessing for time, above and beyond anything you could ever ask or think, and greater grace blessing for eternity for the believer who lives the spiritual life, and those are awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Knowing the indwelling of Christ becomes motivation for perseverance in living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Knowing the indwelling of Christ motivates the believer to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as the means of attaining occupation with Christ. Point three, verification of the indwelling of Christ in our Lord's Prayer in John 17. And we studied that in John 17, 22 to 26. Point four, the indwelling of Jesus Christ relates to the mystery doctrine of the church age. It is church age truth. Musterion. The church age was not known about in Old Testament times. Church age truth was not known about in Old Testament times. And the indwelling of Jesus Christ relates to the mystery doctrine of the church age, Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 to 29. Point five, the indwelling of Christ is related to the Shekinah glory in the Old Testament. Shekinah glory is defined as theological nomenclature designed to explain the relationship between Jesus Christ and the client nation Israel, and Jesus Christ and the church as his royal family. Shekinah glory explains the uniqueness of the Jew in the dispensation of Israel, while at the same time explaining the uniqueness of the body of Christ in the dispensation of the church age. In the dispensation of Israel, Jesus Christ indwelt a building. First of all, the tabernacle, and then two different temples. In the dispensation of the church age, Jesus Christ indwelt the body of every believer. If the indwelling of Christ in the sacred building of Israel is unique and without precedent in human history, how much more is the indwelling of Christ in the body of every church age believer unique and without precedent? Shekinah glory, then, is a title. A title for our Lord Jesus Christ, which establishes a link between two unique categories of spiritual phenomena. First of all, the eternal and infinite Son of God dwelling in buildings in the age of Israel. And secondly, the eternal and infinite Son of God indwelling your body as a believer in the church age. That brings us now to point six. Point six, the relationship between the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The relationship between the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Subpoint one. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit provides a temple for the indwelling of Christ as the Shekinah glory. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit provides a temple for the indwelling of Christ as the Shekinah glory. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And then 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And therefore, honor God with your body. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit provides the temple for the indwelling of Christ as the Shekinah glory. Subpoint two, the combination of the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the basis for the unique spiritual life of the church age. The combination of the indwelling of Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the basis for the unique spiritual life of the church age. Romans 8, verse 10. Turn over to Romans 8, 10. Romans 8, verse 10. Romans 8, verse 10. For if Christ is in you, here's the indwelling of Jesus Christ, first class condition, and he is the indwelling of Christ. On the one hand, the body is dead because of the sin nature. But on the other hand, the Spirit is life. The Holy Spirit is life. That is the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age because of righteousness. Subpoint three, motivation from the indwelling of Jesus Christ is related to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Motivation from the indwelling of Jesus Christ is related to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 3, 23 and 24. We studied this and the corrected translation, 1 John 3, 23 and 24. And this is his mandate, that we believe in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another, impersonal love for all, just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, commanded us. And the one who obeys his mandates abides in him. He's living the spiritual life. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, abides in him, the indwelling of Christ. And by this, living the know that he abides in us, the indwelling of Christ. How? Spirit, Holy Spirit, with the ministry of the Spirit to live the spiritual life. Whom God, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given to us. So motivation from the indwelling of Jesus Christ is related to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The believer living the unique spiritual life of the church age is abiding in Christ, and Christ abides in him. This is for the purpose of motivation. Motivation to keep on living the spiritual life as the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Lord Jesus Christ lived the spiritual life. And John taught us this in 1 John 2, verse 6, which says in corrected translation, the one who claims to abide in him, Christ, is obligated also to himself to spiritual life, just as he, the Lord Jesus Christ, walked and lived the unique spiritual life. Subpoint four. From the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, this results in the transformation of our lives into the image of the Shekinah glory. from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, that's two of the spiritual skills, this results in the transformation of our lives into the image of the Shekinah glory. 2 Corinthians 3, verses 17 and 18. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Second Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Verse 17, now the Lord is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, spiritual freedom. Verse 18, but we all, royal family, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the word of God, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glory, Christ being formed in you, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So again, subpoint four, from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, this results in the transformation of our lives from glory to glory into the image of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. All right, point seven. The indwelling of Christ relates to the baptism of the Spirit. The indwelling of Christ relates to the baptism of the Spirit. Turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians 2:20. The Apostle Paul begins, I have been crucified with Christ. That's the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth, identified with Christ in his death and burial. So we have, I have been crucified with Christ, the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive positional truth. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, the indwelling of Christ. And the life which I now live in the body, the unique spiritual life of the church age, I live by means of faith. Faith in the Word of God. Learning and believing the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures and getting that metabolized doctrine in the heart with reference to the Son of God who loved me, impersonal love for all, and delivered himself up on my behalf. Again, the greatest demonstration of impersonal love the world will ever know. Point eight. Point eight, there is a doctrinal test regarding the indwelling of Christ. A doctrinal test regarding the indwelling of Christ. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. We are currently in Wednesday or in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It won't be long, we'll be in 2 Corinthians 13. And when we finish, we'll be in 3 Corinthians. Okay, just seeing if you're still there. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. We have two mandates. Be testing yourselves. Be testing yourselves to see, to determine if you are in the faith. Here's the first command to all of you. Be testing yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Here's the second command. Keep examining yourselves. Or do you not know this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you, the indwelling of Christ. Do you not know this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you flunked the test. Two mandates here. First of all, the phrase, be testing yourself. You can't do this if you're living in the cosmic system. You can't do this in a state of ignorance. If you're ignorant of the Word of God and you don't know the Word of God, you can't fulfill this mandate. How you feel emotionally, what you think intellectually, your state of health, or any other human factor is not the criterion for evaluating yourself. The only measure you are to use is the Word of God. The Word of God. And what the Word of God says about your life. What does the Word of God say about your life? The only measure you are to use is the Word of God. And we are responsible to God. We, each one of us, are responsible to God to test ourselves. First of all, the first mandate, the phrase, be testing yourselves to see if you are in the faith. That is, how important is the Word of God to you? That's what this first test is. Be testing yourselves to see, determine if you are in the faith. How important is the Word of God to you? If you ever are going to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life in order to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And therefore, the believer must be constantly alert to make sure that his scale of values emphasizes the importance of getting the Word of God in his heart. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. Now the world, Satan is the ruler of planet Earth, and he has multitudes and multitudes of distractions to every one of you as royal family of God. There are so many distractions that the Satan has provided in your life, which are designed to de-emphasize the filling of the Spirit, de-emphasize the teaching ministry of the Spirit, and to distract you away from living the unique spiritual life of the church age. Second, the second mandate Keep examining yourself. Keep examining yourself. This self-examination is impossible unless the believer obeys the first command, be testing yourselves to see if you are in the faith. The objective of self-examination is only possible when you are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live the spiritual life, which is a supernatural way of life and demands supernatural power for its execution. Spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrines. That's the teaching ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. And spiritual skill number three, executing God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Now, all of this takes place under the privacy of your own priesthood. We are all been appointed royal priests. Every one of us are a royal priest. And as a royal priest, you represent yourself before God. You represent your life before God. Under the privacy of your priesthood, you must examine yourself in every area of your life. That's a part of your royal priesthood. That's a part of representing yourself before God. So, one, you examine yourself regarding sin. To see if there's any unconfessed sin in your life. This is the only way you can rebound and get back into fellowship. So you have to examine yourself regarding sin. Is there any unconfessed sin in my life? And this, when there is, 1 John 1:9, if we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you must be aware of sin in your life before you can confess that sin. You can't confess a sin that you're not even aware that you're sinning. So you must be aware of sin in your life before you can confess it. Secondly, you examine yourself to see if there's any fear or worry or anxiety. Now, all of those are sins, by the way. And today, with what's going on in America and what's going on around the world, there are a lot of fears and worries and a lot of anxiety. All of those are sins. And so first of all, you have to use rebound, 1 John 1:9, get back into fellowship with God, and that must be followed up by faith rest. The faith rest life. In order to overcome these. Three, you examine yourself for proper objectives in life. You got to know what the ultimate objective is, and if you've been with us studying 1 John, you know what the ultimate objective of the spiritual life is, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. So you examine yourself for proper objectives in life to see, do I have virtue, love brought to completion in my heart? Do I have, first of all, motivational virtue, personal love for God? That comes first. And then when you have that personal love for God, that motivates you to have impersonal love for all. And brings you to occupation with Jesus Christ, where you share the happiness of God. So you examine yourself. Do I have personal love for God the Father? Do I have impersonal love for all mankind? Well, we saw this with our class last night. If you find yourself judging, slandering, maligning others, you don't have impersonal love for all. You don't have virtue love in your soul. You aren't living the spiritual life. You're in the cosmic system. And you are coming under triple compound divine discipline for judging, slandering, maligning other believers or anyone. So you need to examine yourself under the privacy of your priesthood. 4, you examine yourself with regard to your personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. Has Jesus Christ made himself at home in your heart? Do you enjoy Jesus Christ every moment of every day? That he's sitting in the easy chair in front of the TV in your soul? In front of the fireplace. You got a fireplace in your heart. And you're in the easy chair. Jesus Christ is there. You're there. And you're enjoying him moment by moment. Occupation with Christ. Sharing the happiness of God. 5, you examine yourself regarding your suffering status. In other words, you examine yourself when you have suffering. Is this suffering divine discipline? Because you're living in the cosmic system? Or is this suffering for blessing because you're a winner believer? Only the winner believer qualifies for suffering for blessing. Of all of the greater grace blessings, suffering for blessing is one of the greatest. The opportunity for you to glorify God in times of suffering as well as in times of prosperity. Only the winner believer is qualified for suffering for blessing. And the winner believer has God's problem-solving devices out on the flat line of his soul. The winner believer has the precisely correct procedure to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Suffering for blessing is a spiritual hurdle that God wants you to run and clear. And the precisely correct procedure is God's problem-solving devices out on the flat line of your soul, the forward line of troops in your soul. Suffering for blessing, you can handle it because you have God's grace and God's power to handle it. Punitive suffering, you can't handle it. Divine discipline, you can't handle it. It's God's way of getting you to wake up. Wake up. You're going off the cliff. So God brings divine discipline, warning discipline, intensive discipline. And if you don't wake up, dying discipline. You'll be in heaven early. So you examine yourself regarding your suffering status. Is it punitive suffering, divine discipline, or suffering for blessing that God only provides for the winner believer? Now, this self-examination demands something. This self-examination demands wisdom. This is beautiful. I didn't do this. There is a Hebrew word for wisdom, and there is a Greek word for wisdom. Uh-oh. We never got this put over to red. I hate, well, no, black is beautiful. I've heard that. Let's see. Hey, oh, well, now I want it thicker than that. Oh, well. All of the deacons are going, It wasn't me. Oh, it might have been the artist. Thank you. Now that you can examine yourself. Chokhma. The Hebrew word for wisdom is chokhma. And it means to be skilled at something. Skilled. To be a professional. And for you as a believer, it means to be skilled in the Word of God and being able to apply the Word of God accurately to your life. Skillfully and accurately to your life. That's the Hebrew word for wisdom. Wisdom that can skillfully and accurately apply the God-breathed scriptures to your own life. And then there is a Greek word, Sophia, S-O-P-H-I-A, Sophia. And Sophia is the word wisdom, and Sophia is maximum amount of the Word of God in your heart. Now you are commanded and mandated to examine yourself. And this should not be put off until you feel like it, or until you get into a jam and are forced to examine your life. God's mandate is for objective self-examination. But you cannot fulfill this mandate unless you personally have an understanding of the Word of God. So 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 is very, very important. And there are actually three tests here. First of all, self-testing for positive volition toward the Word of God. Are you positive or are you negative? No, this is, you have the privacy of your priesthood, but you need to examine your own soul. Are you positive to the Word of God or are you negative? So first of all, self-testing for positive volition toward God's Word. Second, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine resulting in accurate and objective self-examination under the privacy of your own priesthood. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine resulting in accurate and objective self-examination under the privacy of your own priesthood. Third, the application of the specific doctrine in the Word of God, the indwelling of Jesus Christ for two purposes. The application of the specific doctrine, the indwelling of Jesus Christ for two purposes. Number one, purpose number one, to motivate you to live the spiritual life and attain spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. So the first purpose, the application of the specific doctrine, the indwelling of Jesus Christ, first purpose, to motivate you to live the spiritual maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The second purpose, to frustrate and neutralize any arrogance in your life. To frustrate and neutralize any arrogance in your life. Satan is a genius. He doesn't have any wisdom, but he's a genius. Satan is smarter than everybody in here put everything together. He's the ruler of planet Earth, and he invented a way to rule and control all the people on planet Earth. He called that the cosmic system, made up of cosmic one, interlocking systems of arrogance. He's the expert on arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. And he ruled planet Earth by that cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So the third test is the application of the specific doctrine, the indwelling of Jesus Christ, to one, first purpose, motivate you to live the spiritual life, attain maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And the second purpose, to frustrate and neutralize any arrogance in your life. Any arrogance and antagonism. When you get into Satan's cosmic system, well, it starts out, you're preoccupied with yourself. And all of this, what you have, your own personal plan for your life is more important than God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. But that leads to antagonism. And you now become antagonistic toward the Word of God, Bible doctrine, and to the point where you hate it. And there are a lot of Christians who hate, they're antagonistic toward the Word of God. They hate the Word of God. They don't want the Word of God. And what are they doing? They are living in Satan's cosmic system. So the application of the specific doctrine, the indwelling of Christ, is for two purposes: to motivate you to live the spiritual life, attain maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, and to frustrate and neutralize any arrogance, any antagonism toward God and His Word in your life. All right, point nine. Summary and highlights. Now, we live in the greatest dispensation of all time, the church age. And because we're in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict, it used to be in the Old Testament, Satan attacked the line of Christ, then he attacked Jesus Christ himself, but now Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. The attack can't be on Christ. So now the attack is on the body of Christ. For the first time ever in human history, Satan attacks every one of you as the body of Christ. And that's why God has made this phenomenal grace provision, the unique spiritual life, so that you can be a winner and not be a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. So we are blessed with this unique spiritual life, never given in Old Testament times, only given. Jesus Christ was the first one who had it, and then he passed it on to each one of us. It's a supernatural way of life, demands supernatural power for its execution. That power is the God, the Holy Spirit. So we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which makes our body a temple so that the Father and the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, can indwell us. This is the only time in all of human history where the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit indwells the body of every church age believer. So, first of all, the significance of the indwelling of God the Father. The significance of the indwelling of God the Father. First of all, it is related to the glorification of his plan for the church age. It's related to the glorification of his plan for the church age. Secondly, it provides assurance regarding his work in eternity past on our behalf. It provides assurance regarding his work in eternity past on our behalf. That is, God the Father is the author of our portfolio of invisible assets. And this was something he provided for us in eternity past. The author of our portfolio of invisible assets. And what are those, that portfolio of invisible assets? We've studied it many times. There are primary assets, which include election and predestination. He's provided for us election and predestination. He provided for this in eternity past. It includes secondary assets, which includes invisible impact, suffering for blessing, divine good production. It includes personnel assets, where every one of us have at least one spiritual gift. We might have several spiritual gifts. It includes unique assets, which is the unique indwelling of all three members of the Godhead in our body. The indwelling of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father is the author of our portfolio of invisible assets. He is also the grantor of our greater grace blessings. He is also the mastermind of the protocol plan of God for the church age. And he is the designer of the unique spiritual life of the church age. So the indwelling of God the Father provides assurance regarding his work in eternity past on our behalf. He's the author of our portfolio of invisible assets. He is the grantor of our greater grace blessings. He is the mastermind of the protocol plan of God for the church age. He is the designer of the unique spiritual life of the church age. Second, the indwelling, the significance of the indwelling of Christ. The significance of the indwelling of Christ. First of all, he is a sign or badge that we are royal family of God. A sign or badge that we are royal family of God. Secondly, a guarantee of our portfolio of invisible assets. God the Father was the author of our portfolio of invisible assets. Jesus Christ is the guarantee of our portfolio of invisible assets. Third, a guarantee of life after death in the presence of God. guarantee of life after death in the presence of God. Fourth, the guarantee of our greater grace blessings. And fifth, motivation. Motivation to motivate us for spiritual momentum and spiritual growth. And then third, the significance of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. The significance of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit. First of all, to construct a temple in our body. To construct a temple in our body for the indwelling of Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, and God the Father. To construct a temple in our body for the indwelling of Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory, and God the Father. And secondly, to provide a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit as the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. To provide a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit as the divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. All right. So, in this passage, we have studied the doctrine of the indwelling of God the Holy Spirit and the doctrine of the indwelling of Jesus Christ. Again, verses 14 and 15 says, indeed, we have seen and bear witness that the Father, God the Father, has sent the Son, His eternal Son, to be the Savior of the world, the greatest demonstration of impersonal love for all the world will ever know. Verse 15, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation, God resides in him, the indwelling of the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And He, in God, union with Christ, current positional truth. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.